Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. It is fantasy baseball season around here. And actually, we've got the college basketball NCAA tournament happening. We got a lot of coverage coming your way as soon as we are done at 11 a.m. Eastern. But for the next 2 hours, Davis and I are getting you ready for your fantasy baseball drafts. Davis, for most people, fantasy baseball draft season is now. A lot of folks drafting this weekend, very similar to fantasy football, the most popular week. Is the week right before the season begins. So that will be next weekend here on Fantasy Sports Today. And listen, at this point, a lot of research going into this, a lot of ADP numbers coming in as well. And you better have an idea of this player pool by now. I mean, we are here in the middle of March.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's absolutely go time. Basically, like the next 16 days, the NFBC and all of the other places where people are doing their fantasy baseball drafts are, you know, whatever the drafts that have been done from, you know, December until now, whatever that number is, probably triple it in terms of the number of drafts that are going to get done. There are still a ton of like very large season-long contests where you can win hundreds of thousands of dollars playing fantasy baseball left to be open, to be drafted in. We've got injuries. We've got, the eternal drama around the New York Yankees going on. So there's a lot to be paying attention to and a lot of things left, I think, to be decided.
Yeah, and some closer movement as well, some injuries, with the Brewers, potential change with the White Sox. They got trades going on too. So naturally, for those of you who are following along, spring training ends next weekend. It's over. And then the teams take a few days off before opening up on the 28th. And naturally, the Padres and Dodgers are getting ready to get started with their season overseas. But let's get to some of the top stories here on the show, and we'll break it all down for you. Who would have had Kirk Cousins signing before Blake Snell? Not me, but that's where we're at. Blake Snell's still a free agent. And the Houston Astros reportedly may be interested in Snell. And the reason for this is because Jose Urquidy has a elbow issue. They haven't really gotten into details on Urquidy yet, but my guess is, Davis, this is significant. It sounds like it, at least. And Urquidy was not their ace or number two, but pretty consistent through the years. So maybe Snell on a 1 or 2 year deal. We'll see. Nestor Cortez is going to start opening day for the Yankees. Gerrit Cole is going to miss a month. Stroman will open up at home in New York. Michael A. Taylor will sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers, 1 year, $4 million. He's got a couple of weeks to ramp up and become a platoon player, I would guess, in Pittsburgh, maybe left-handed bats. And then a big trade, Davis, this week. The White Sox basically are like, what are we doing? let's just tear this down. And Dylan Cease was traded. Drew Thorpe, one of the main names, going back in return. Prospects that we may see for the White Sox at the end of the season. But interesting that the Padres preferred to make a trade by trading their farm system for Dylan Cease, Davis, than bringing back Blake Snell, right? Like, that kind of tells you the story there a little bit.
I mean, I imagine that Blake Snell, I mean, I suppose you would probably know a little bit more than me, but there are probably like several complex reasons why Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery and these guys are not signed. I mean, honestly, I hope for their purposes, they are just playing total hardball with the organizations that want to sign them and saying, you know, we are going to maximize these dollars. We are not falling in line. And if Major League Baseball wants to be a product where some of the best players are left on the sideline because front offices and ownerships don't want to pay, then I suppose You know, I guess so be it. I think the more interesting thing about the Dylan Cease trade is that basically the market for him did not seem to be that. Like, the Padres definitely, and I don't know a ton about the Padres farm system, but I'm going to guess it's not absolutely overflowing its Baseball America top 100 guys, and that at his age, it kind of just made more sense bring this guy in the door, keep him on the team for 3 or 4 years. Maybe by the next time that we have a good team with these young guys, because they do have plenty of young guys on the roster who are under contract. By the time we've built a new nucleus, Cease will still be on the team and still be fine. Honestly, Craig, what I thought was going to happen was we would get the New York Yankees saying, all right, Garrett Cole, you're out for 3 months and then 4 months, and then, oh, you're having a UCL surgery. Right. I thought they would be the Cease team. And how is it Saturday, March 16th, and AJ and Garrett Cole is not pitching, and Blake Snell has not been panic signed by the New York Yankees? That is above and beyond me.
Yeah, no, I mean, it looks like the Yankees are done. I mean, really. I mean, they've had their chance at this. It doesn't appear that it's going to happen, at least to me. I'm going to guess. Look, both of them are represented, Davis, by Scott Boras, so let's be clear on that, right? Like, that's definitely a part of this conversation. A lot of his guys went down to the end and still may very well be. You know, we also got the news earlier this week, Devin Williams, who you could make the case is one of the best closers in baseball, if not the very best, for the Milwaukee Brewers. He is going to be out for a period of time with some back fractures. I think a couple of months is what they're saying with him. Too late, I guess, Davis, in the NFBC, unless you drafted in the last week or so, because there were some rumblings that he was hurt and he wasn't 100% right. You know, they don't have a clear-cut closer, but it only just stamps the point home, Davis, even more. When you draft a guy essentially for one category, and I know, you know, people watching, Davis, would say, what do you mean one category? The guy gets 80 strikeouts. Look, let's be honest. You're drafting the guy for one category. You're drafting for saves. It's just really, really dicey. Even when they call these guys elite, now what do you do? I mean, you took this guy early in a draft and you have to go back to the waiver wire, use all the budget money you have to take a stab on somebody else.
You're so right. And it highlights why so many people play fantasy baseball that way. And actually, you highlight another thing, which is why the elite ratio closers, you know, the elite low whip, low ERA, high strikeout closers, they're very unlikely to end up earning their value via those categories, right? Like, extremely, even the absolute best closer seasons you can imagine, you know, Haters, unbelievable seasons, you know, Mariano Rivera, obviously, when he was completely unhittable for the New York Yankees, they still, far and away, if you look at the way the roto calculations are done, they still earn 60, 70, 80% of their value via one category, which is why, for as long as you and I have been doing this show together, we have been definitely team anti-elite closer, and we have been all about kind of spraying and praying on eighth inning guys, setup guys that profile to get the next crack at the job when the starting closer, you know, gets injured, misses two, you know, blows up twice in a row. Like, that, then those are the guys we like.
Yeah, and it's really time to dive into that at this stage of the season, and kind of hard to do because a lot of closers in spring training are coming in like the fifth inning, sixth inning, just to get the work in. But as the final week of the season progresses, you're going to start to see more of that. So the picture becomes a little bit clearer, maybe even more of a reason to not draft baseball until you get to the end to avoid some of these injuries. But coming up next, speaking of which, Ronald Acuña Jr. has missed a portion of the spring with a knee issue, but he's back in the lineup for the Braves. He's been their designated hitter. He is still the consensus number one overall pick in fantasy baseball. But the question is, what outfielders are behind him going into the season? And how much added value now does Mookie Betts have at outfield? If indeed they play this out, I don't know that they will because it's not going so well, but if they play this out and play him at shortstop this upcoming season, how much fantasy value does that add to his name too? We'll be back with more here on Fantasy Sports Today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. In fantasy sports, it's very rare that you have the number one overall pick at such a consensus And indeed, that is the case this year. I mean, very clear cut in Major League Baseball and Fantasy Baseball, Davis. Ronald Acuña Jr.'s number one overall pick. There was that blip of time here, I think over a 10-day period where he was out for a bit. I mean, I suppose you can say that there's maybe a little concern that the running won't be there as much with this knee injury that he has, but, you know, I'm just not really sure. And again, if Acuña goes from as many steals as he had, I forget the exact number, to 40, like, it's still the number one overall pick in the draft. I think that's what people are counting on this year with Acuña. Now, beyond that, here's the ADP for some of the top outfielders. Julio Rodriguez is at 3. Mookie Betts is at 4. Again, he's been playing shortstop in the spring. Dave Roberts said he's the opening day shortstop, Davis, but it's not going as well, I think, as they would have. Maybe it's just a work in progress. It's surprising a team like the Dodgers would do this with a work in progress. That's what it is. Corbin Carroll was fantastic. He was the rookie of the year. Kyle Tucker, the Astros, got to get signed pretty quick here. He's going to be a free agent soon, so he's playing sort of for a new deal here. He is at 6. Feels good to me. It feels like Carroll is the one name that could jump a little bit after the year. But, you know, getting that shortstop qualification for Mookie Betts is huge. I just wouldn't count on that right now.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't count on it. In fact, you might even want him at outfield anyways. We talked about this a little bit last week, but we're going to get into this. By the time we get to kind of our third, fourth slide of outfielders, Craig, we're going through this list, there are going to be names where people are a little bit uncertain if the overall production is going to justify how good, you know, how expensive they are in these drafts. I think you're spot on with Ronald Acuña Jr. I mean, last year he stole 73 bases. I mean, literally cut that number in half. Cut his 73 stolen bases in half, and you make him a 41 home run, 150 run guy, and he still pretty clearly is probably going to be the best player in all of fantasy baseball. Maybe not as clearly. You know, there are guys who would approximate him, but he was basically. I've actually seen our friend Gray Albright and some others do this. Like, he was LaDainian Tomlinson at his peak, Shaq at his peak in terms of his impact on fantasy baseball. Like our friend Jeff Erickson from RotoWire tweeted that in the NFBC last year, 43% of Ronald Acuña drafters just won their league. If you took Ronald Acuña Jr., 43% to win your league in the NFBC last year. Like, it's just hard to overstate how having a guy that good helps you win your fantasy baseball league.
Yeah, and again, steals are up around baseball, and we saw that last year, and as long as that continues to be the case and he's healthy, he's still going to steal a lot of bases. Okay, we saw the reemergence of Fernando Tatis Jr. He was back in a big way for the Padres last year. Some people think there's even more to it coming for him this year with San Diego. He is the 7th overall. Aaron Judge is at 10. Looks like Judge will be back in the lineup next week for the Yankees and hitting today. Juan Soto is at 11. Yordan Alvarez does play some left field, so he's in there at 16. And Luis Robert Jr. is at 31. He's by far and away, Davis, the best player on the White Sox. He had such an incredible year, you know, all things considered, on a horrible team. And unfortunately, the team's going to even be worse this year. I don't think it'll affect, like, home runs and steals and all that. But the amount of runs this guy is going to score, I think, is going to go down from last year.
I think you're probably right. If I had to make one bet on a guy on this list to be in the first round next year, to take a big step, not only, you know, just as a player, but as a fantasy asset, I mean, it's Juan Soto for sure. He has led Major League Baseball in walks 4 times. And you might be thinking, you know, Juan Soto, I remember him. Juan Soto has been around forever. Juan Soto has got, I mean, what, he's got to be, Craig, oh, he's got to be 29, 30 years old, right? Juan Soto, I remember he got called up in 2018. Juan Soto is entering into his age 25 season right now. Juan Soto, as an 18-year-old and a 19-year-old, was an above-average major league hitter, which is just like, it's very hard to explain how unbelievably phenomenal that is. And now, I actually don't think the lineup he's in is going to be all that good compared to the Padres lineup that he was in last year. But he's got that short porch in Yankee Stadium. I think we see him hit a career high in home runs. I think we see him have a almost career high in runs scored. I think he is going to be unreal. And really, I guess what you would need from him is, last year he stole 12 bases. Can he go from 12 stolen bases to 22, just because everyone's stealing a little bit more with the rule changes? I mean, I don't know. That's pure speculation on my part. But I do think Juan Soto is going to be like 11, 12, 13 overall to like, you're taking this guy third overall with a bullet, basically.
Yeah, and going to be a free agent also, playing for a new contract at the end of the year. Whether that's with the Yankees or someone else is remains to be seen. That's one of the big storylines, I think, of the summer. Okay, Michael Harris Jr. got off to a tough start. People thought, wow, it was like this rookie regression going into year two. And then he was phenomenal in the second half of the season. His ADP going into the season's at 32, so second round, third round pick. Adalys Garcia of the Texas Rangers, one of the postseason heroes. He's sitting at 41, phenomenal player with a lot of home runs coming. Davis Randy Arozarena of Tampa Bay, he hits, he steals. Been good for a long time. Rays usually don't hang on to these kind of guys for this long, right? Like, usually right by now they've traded a guy like this. Nolan Jones is probably a surprise to some people. You know, talent-wise, Davis is a very, very high-end player, but the bottom line is that this kind of bat in Colorado is going to have a monster season and I think going to far outperform that 51 that he's at. And then Cody Bellinger is sitting there at 52. We haven't had a Rockies guy like this in a bit. That's young, that's up and coming, that we know is going to play. Like, the Rockies call these guys up, and then they don't even play sometimes. Like, it's sort of an odd organization, the way that they manage things. But I think the ADP for Nolan Jones is fair. He's got nobody blocking him at all. And, I mean, can he hit 50 home runs in Colorado? I don't know. But I think that people are going to be really surprised at the end of the year with how many bombs this guy's hit.
I think you're right. So Nolan Jones last season hit 20 home runs in 424 plate appearances. But if you actually go back and look at some of his minor league numbers, you might even think he would be a little bit more of a power guy than that. He also walked in 12.5% of his plate appearances. That is, for a young player, for a 25-year-old, that is extremely solid. Now, he is definitely a three true outcomes hitter, which I suppose is kind of what you want for a guy in Colorado. 424 plate appearances, and over a third of them ended in a walk or a strikeout, which is, you know, just so funny for a guy who plays all of those games at Coors Stadium. But you're right. I mean, I think people would be surprised to see his name that high. Obviously, you are losing, I don't really think you're losing anything, actually, taking him over the guys that go right ahead of him and right behind him. Like, compare him to Bellinger, compare him to Garcia. Those guys are not going to add any stolen bases. Nolan Jones stole 20 bases last year. And I know you probably agree with me on this. When these guys are on these bad teams, I actually think they can steal basically as many bases as they are physically capable of, because it doesn't matter, right? You're on a Rockies team that's on pace to win 74 games. If you want to steal, if Nolan Jones wants to steal 40 bases, who's going to stop him? Who's stopping him?
Yeah, and again, the hitting environment is still there. People forget, because it's been a while since the Arenados and the Todd Heltons and the Larry Walkers. It's been a while since they've had a guy like this, Carlos Gonzalez, who just goes into the season as, you know, the clear-cut best fantasy asset on the team. They've had other guys come through, like Ryan McMahon and Davis and Brendan Rodgers. Like, we're hoping for those guys, but this guy's actually doing it. And when you can get a player like this at altitude, at this ADP, I think sky is the limit for this guy. And it's a fair point, too. The 20 steals is going to add to that as well. All right, coming up next, once upon a time, Mike Trout was the first pick in fantasy baseball. Wasn't that long ago. Now his ADP is quite down a bit. We'll discuss him. We'll also get into some of the other players inside the top 100 at the outfield position in fantasy baseball. So stay with us. Also, don't forget, we got plenty more coming up, and we'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Our average draft position look at the outfield position continues here on this show as you get ready for your fantasy baseball drafts. And certainly, look, the run of being the top pick of the draft has come to an end now for a few years, Davis, for Mike Trout. But now the run of him being a first-round pick and a second-round pick and a third-round pick is sort of coming to an end. His ADP this year is 61. Davis, I think, I don't know, call me crazy, call me nuts, I think this is the summer they trade Trout. I don't know, man. I kind of feel like this is it. I feel like, to me, I've looked at the Angels win total, and I don't know how they're getting to like 71, 72. This makes no sense to me. Without Ohtani, they did nothing in the offseason. I think it's time to send Trout to a winning team at this point. And I know that has nothing to do with fantasy, but maybe it will. You know, maybe he does end up in a different environment. Maybe he goes to the Dodgers like everybody else does. I can't imagine the Angels doing that, though. That seems a bit far-fetched. But anyway, his ADP is 61. Jazz Chisholm Jr., the Marlins, is 65. If he's healthy, he's going to have a big year. Health has just been the issue with him. Christian Yelich, 71. Josh Lowe, remember, he's been banged up this spring, so tread lightly there. And then Kyle Schwarber, home run monster at 81. But Trout is really the main talking point here, because Davis, he's just missed so much time over the last few years. It's 20 games, it's 30 games, it's 50 games. And you know, if he extrapolate that and he plays the entire season, his ADP is going to be much higher than that, but he's just not running as much anymore. And I don't know, man. Like, I think he's going to be wearing a different uniform in the second half of the season. If Juan Soto could get traded, Mike Trout could get traded, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you probably could make an argument that Mike Trout is not really, for a lot of teams, it would not make sense to pay Mike Trout the money that he is on, given his availability. Obviously, he's still been phenomenal when he has been available. He has not had over 499 plate appearances since 2019. For fantasy baseball purposes, since 2020, he has stolen six bases, not per season, at whole. Six stolen bases in the last 4 years for Mike Trout. Now, he definitely has made some trade-offs at the plate. He did hit 40 home runs in 2022. He was only able to register 362 plate appearances last year. His numbers were mostly fine. I don't think anyone would be rushing to say Mike Trout isn't one of the better hitters in baseball. Mike Trout, you know, I think he is generally going to be fine. But you're talking about a power-only outfielder on a bad team. Now, if we put Mike Trout on the Orioles, if we put Mike Trout hitting fifth for the Dodgers, and we juiced up his run total and we juiced up his RBI total, then I think he becomes a much more valuable guy. So maybe you would be more interested in taking him. But as it stands right now, looking at the list of guys that he is going around, I definitely prefer Jazz. And depending on the team, I might even prefer Schwarber, because if I just want 42 home runs, who is more likely to deliver 42 home runs, Mike Trout or Kyle Schwarber? It is definitely Kyle Schwarber. Now, you're not going to get the batting average. Trout is definitely going to help you with batting average. It's probably just in general a good gamble to make, because when is betting against Mike Trout ever really worked for anyone? Not all that often. But you're definitely not doing cartwheels when you take Mike Trout, I think.
Yeah, no, look, a big year coming for him. The Angels have to get this figured out. Okay, so now other players inside the top 100, just outside too. Brian Reynolds of the Pirates. He is not a sexy player, Davis, but you know at the end of the season, it's 270, it's 25 home runs, it's some steals. Just mark it down. You know exactly what's going to happen with him. Nick Castellanos had a bounce-back regular season last year, his ADP inside the top 100. Spencer Steer of the Reds, who qualifies at some other positions, Seiya Suzuki at 100. And then a big surprise, Davis, last year in fantasy was this player, Lane Thomas. Remember, he came over from the Cardinals once upon a time. Lane Thomas, 20 home runs, 20 steals, one of the best hitters in baseball against left-handed pitching. And by the way, in a lineup that was dreadful for Washington last year. So credit to Lane Thomas for doing what he did. You don't find a lot of people buying that, though, again this year.
No, you definitely do not. And this is where we start to get into the beauty is in the eye of the beholder segment of outfield, where a lot of what you're doing is going to depend on what do I already have on my team. You know, if you're lacking a little bit of power, you definitely would want to go Castellanos. If you're lacking a little bit of average, you probably would prefer to go Reynolds. Spencer Steer is a fairly interesting one. Kind of came out of nowhere last season to hit 23 home runs with 15 steals. Actually walked a good bit, only strikes out 20% of the time. He's in the middle of that, you know, that Reds team that we are all very excited about, that we think is going to take a real step as one of the contenders in the National League. And then, you know, Yelich is sort of one of these fascinating guys where he has that crazy out of nowhere MVP caliber season in 2018. He hits .326 with 36 home runs. And then, you know, the last 3 years, he's kind of regressed back into being the guy that he was with the Miami Marlins. A lot of ground balls, having trouble putting the ball in the air. What kind of saved his fantasy stock last year was that he turned the clock way back. At age 31, he stole the most bases, the second most bases of any season of his career with 28 stolen bases. But I that's just a profile of a guy I don't love. I mean, almost 60% of his at-bats and or 60% of his batted balls are a ground ball. He does walk a ton, but it kind of looks like his play discipline is getting a little bit worse as he gets older. Yelich is probably a pass for me. I probably would prefer amongst these guys. In fact, Christian Yelich at 71 versus Spencer Steer at 95 or Seiya Suzuki at 100. I probably prefer both of those guys at cost to Christian Yelich.
All right, and a couple of young players now on the next grouping we're going to discuss. Jordan Walker was the big story among rookies in the National League early last year, and a lot of potential here for him, Davis, this year to see if he can build on last year. George Springer now, one of the elder statesmen in fantasy. Who would have thought that? His ADP consistently dropped over the last couple of years, 113. Esteri Ruiz, you may say, wait a second here, a guy on Oakland in the top 120? Well, Ruiz does one thing and one thing only. And he steals, and I believe he led the American League in stolen bases last year. If you believe that's going to happen again, and it does, this ADP is fair. Otherwise, this is a massive overpay based on the player. Evan Carter, another young player we saw a little bit last year for the Texas Rangers, who we believe is going to play quite a bit this year. And then Teoscar Hernandez, who's sort of a safe 25 home run guy, Davis, in LA, going to play DH, going to play the outfield. Also betting on himself, another player who took a one-year deal.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like Evan Carter's playing time, is it true that that would be impacted by Wyatt Langford, or are they totally different parts of the outfield? Yeah,
it could be.
So Carter, I would be
a little bit.
Yeah, I'd be a little hesitant on that. And his projections, honestly, do not look that strong. You know, if you're looking at his composite projections, you're looking at a pretty middle of the road guy. Now, Jordan Walker, again, very interesting. One of those guys who came up and immediately was like, you know, just everyone loved him. You know, our friend Gray Albright, who we're going to discuss with, was a big Jordan Walker guy. Like, and he was incredible when he came up. And then, as often happens with these younger players, they deal with strikeouts. And he's super young. I mean, he is not even 22 years old yet. I'm way more in to Jordan Walker's projections. Like, he was able to hit 16 home runs in 465 plate appearances last year while striking out a good bit of the time, 24% of the time. I think that there's probably a lot more to come from him there. Esteri Ruiz, Craig, I am out on Esteri Ruiz, because if I want to take an athletic who is going to, you know, maybe get traded, maybe have like absolutely no run scored or RBIs because there's no one behind him, I want his teammate who plays second base. I want Zach Geloff, who stole 14 stolen bases in 300 plate appearances last year. I would much rather prefer him, because Esteri Ruiz, like, literally, when you say all that he had to offer you was stolen bases, I mean, this is like, you know, the worst Billy Hamilton style season. He mucked his way to a .254 batting average while striking out 20% of the time. If he gets to a 25% strikeout rate, because he's not a very good hitter, you're talking about a guy who's going to hit like .220. And yeah, he will steal a lot of bases. I mean, he was a full-time player last year. He scored 47 runs and 47 RBIs. I mean, you are not only like, you're actively losing other categories because you have a reason. So I love these guys who steal. I love the speed guys. I am passing on Esteri Ruiz.
Yeah, that's the comp is Billy Hamilton. I mean, that's the, you know, sort of the exact player that he is. And when you're playing in the only leagues like the AL only or the NL, like there's a huge difference there. I mean, you're getting a guy that's going to be 30% better than the next in a lot of leagues, but in the mixed league format, I mean, you can piece the steals together, I would think. All right, coming up next, we're going to dive into players that we haven't seen play in the big leagues. We got Jackson Chourio coming up to discuss, Wyatt Langford, we're going to talk about him as well. So where do you take these rookies in the outfield in fantasy? We'll have that conversation next. So stay with us here on Sports Grid. Also, don't forget, coming up at 11 o'clock Eastern, game.
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright. Okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Time decisions with Kevin Walsh, followed by betting above the rim. And we've got Scott Farrell, Coach Young in the house, getting you ready for all the college basketball action. We've got the Big 12 championship tonight, ACC championship, and a lot of championship games, SEC semifinals going on today as well. So stay with us here, more fantasy sports today. Coming up right after this quick timeout, right here on Sports Grid. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports today on Sports Grid. Our previews of the outfield position continue, and this is where things get dicey, of course, in fantasy baseball. Trying to find your outfielder number 3 and 4 and 5. Most leagues, you got to play 5 outfielders in fantasy in almost every format. So let's go through it here because these players are all owned in every fantasy league at this point. A couple of Orioles to start off with. We got Anthony Santander at 132, Cedric Mullins at 136. And then the hot-button topics of the spring. Jackson Chourio, who has yet to play but is set for life with that huge contract the Brewers gave him, Davis. He is at 138. Brewers fans are ready to see him play. He's going to play for them this year. There's no question. You don't pay a guy like this to sit. Wyatt Langford, all indications are he's going to make the team opening day. So we're going to see him as well. His ADP has shot up. This was a lot lower a month ago. And then Marcell Ozuna, a very boring pick at 150. I think people, Davis, would be shocked to see Ozuna's numbers last year. Like, literally shocked to see the bounce back that this guy had with a batting average, I believe, at like 270 for Marcell Ozuna with like 40 home runs. I mean, I don't know what got into him last year, but good for him with the Braves. And so not a lot of buy-in, as you can see, his ADP at 150. You take any other player in baseball, give him Marcell Ozuna's numbers from last year, he's way inside the top 100. The trust factor, not quite there.
No, the trust factor is not there. There are also a couple different ways he could lose playing time inside of this Braves lineup. You know, Michael Harris II, who we actually should have talked about a little bit earlier, could move up the order. Jared Kelnick could play more, although Jared Kelnick not been good in spring training. In fact, they ended up re-signing Adam Duvall to a one-year, I believe, $5 million contract, your old friend. Adam Duvall to basically be the break glass in case of emergency plan. If Kelnick can't hit, I would not be one of those people. Certainly, he looks like a pretty good buy at this ADP. I think Mullins looks pretty decent. I think one of the things you could be concerned about with Cedric Mullins would be that he ends up losing. He just ends up losing a little bit of playing time because the Orioles are so deep. They have so many different guys who are so talented that he could end up, instead of getting, 600 plate appearances, he could end up getting, in fact, he's had over 650 in each of the two last seasons where he stayed healthy, but he could be more like a 450 plate appearance guy, in which case you are not nearly as stoked to have him on your fantasy baseball team. Of course, we have the shiny young toy. We have Wyatt Langford here, who is a very young man. We just touched on him a little bit. He is 22 years old. He is Baseball America's number 5 prospect. Baseball Prospectus's number 2 prospect. I would have to lean on you a little bit more in terms of, do we think that he's with the major league team day one? Do we think that he's, you know, leading off day one? His minor league numbers are absurd. He basically never struck out. I guess the one concern I would have about his minor league stuff is this a guy who is going to almost be kind of a better real life player maybe than fantasy baseball player, where, you know, he hits 310 and he drives in the runs and he scores the runs, but he doesn't go, you know, nuclear in kind of the home runs and the stolen base, maybe even kind of like Miami Marlins Christian Yelich in a way like that.
Yeah, no, look, it could be. I do believe he's going to make the opening day roster. But where he bats in that lineup initially could determine the future. I mean, if he's just okay batting seventh, then you're drafting this guy too high. If he's batting at the top of the lineup ahead of a lot of these hitters like Josh Jung, Adolis Garcia, Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, Davis is a monster in fantasy this year. The lineup is real with Texas. They were the best offense, I think, in the American League last year. So I think all those points are very well taken. Okay, let's dive deeper here, because some big upside names on the next grouping here. TJ Friedl was a huge surprise for the Reds last year, and if he repeats what he did last year, then you're in good shape. Jorge Soler, you sort of know exactly who he is if he's healthy. I don't know, though. In San Francisco, Davis, I'm not sure that, you know, I don't think they've had a 40 home run hitter there since Bonds, so we'll see if Soler can do that. Ian Happ, very consistent. You know who he is. And then the next two names are really big hot-button topics in fantasy. Chaz McCormick, if you look at his numbers last year, Davis, I think you have to start asking the question, is this the next Tucker? Is this the next Springer? Is this the next Altuve? Is this the next great Astros player that they draft, they develop? You wait, a couple of guys leave, Michael Brantley retires, right? And then all of a sudden, boom, they have another guy that's being drafted top 15 in fantasy. Is McCormick that guy? He looked so good for them last year. And then Riley Green on Detroit, I think they're probably waiting for a little bit more from him. But remember, top 5 pick in the baseball draft a couple of years ago. So those are definitely two names that I've seen people reach a lot higher than their ADP for this year.
I think that the McCormick one is fascinating. 19 steals last season, 22 home runs, 273 batting average, and he did this all while hitting like 7-8-9 for the Houston Texans. This was not a guy who was in a premium lineup position for them, anything close. This is also a guy who didn't even get called up in the majors until he was 26 years old. He's heading into his age 29 season. He had a 130 OPS plus for his career. He's got a 117 OPS plus, which means he's been better than league average for pretty much the entirety of his career. All of that is pretty fascinating. Now, he doesn't walk a ton, and he does strike out a lot. He also, you know, I mean, look, he's a Houston Astro, which means he's got some of the best lineup protection that you can have in any given direction. I don't know if I could go into a draft and say that I love him, you know, that this would be one of the guys that I was actively targeting. I think in general, I would prefer to be on the side of the drafters who are drafting Riley Green, who is very young, a former super top prospect, really, really struggled when he came up in 2022, got a little bit better last season, got up to 11 home runs and 7 steals, hit .288 in 416 plate appearances. But Craig, doesn't it feel like that is an easier bet to win in terms of one that actually helps you kind of win your league, where Riley Green actually plays to the back of his baseball card and he hits .303 with 27 home runs and he steals 11. I guess maybe the limiting factor you run into there is he still is not going to contribute that much in terms of runs and RBIs because he is still a Detroit Tiger. So those two are fairly close to me. They're both very interesting names there. You know, I'm not really, like, Jorge Soler is not going to hit 40 home runs in that ballpark. And in that division, remember, it's a super pitcher-friendly division as well, outside of Coors. Like, it's just more pitcher friendly ballparks there. So no one's super interesting at the top of that list for me.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my thing is with McCormick is that if you just forget the name, put any name in there, Davis, give those stats
right.
and give Houston. And if you bought that the last 7 years, 8 years, you win every time. The guy just becomes something, you know, like Yordan Alvarez. Like you just get, there's a long list of Astros who just succeed and they just end up making it. It's a great organization. It's just a credit to them. Okay, so now we dive into the top 200 here a little bit later on. And you could poke holes at all of these players, just a matter of who you like more. This is like your back-end outfielders for potentially five. Jarren Duran of Boston, clear path. It looks like the playing time now that Duvall did not sign with Boston, he signed with Atlanta. I think that's pretty much it. Duran's going to be just let go. Tommy Edman, you do not want to take at this point, I don't think, Davis, because he's hurt. And I don't think he's going to start the season with the Cardinals. So this ADP is going to plummet a little over the next couple of weeks. Yoshida was pretty good offensively, Davis. They don't know that they have a position for him. He could just be a DH moving forward. James Outman, you remember you and I talking about him last year, the beginning of the year, he was awesome for LA. He was just crushing it. I'm like, ah, there it is, rookie of the year. And then he plummeted a little bit with strikeouts. But again, going to play quite a bit. Probably LA platoons him a little bit. And Brandon Nimmo, I mean, at that point, he's not like the most fun pick to take, but you kind of know what you're going to get out of him inside the top 200. So I don't mind him taking at that spot.
No, I got no issue taking Brandon Nimmo there. The name that immediately leaps out to me here is Masataka Yoshida. Not that I think the Boston Red Sox are going to be this incredible offense that allows him to go, 100 runs scored, 100 RBIs. In fact, he basically played to what the expectation was from him coming over from Japan last season. He had 280 and or 290 actually, 15 home runs, 8 stolen bases. But if you're comparing him to guys like Brandon Nimmo, who no one is really that excited to take, you're comparing him to Outman, who's going to be like a rotational outfielder with Jason Hayward and Enrique Hernandez and stuff for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Like, one thing I do feel pretty confident about is that Yoshida is going to get to 600 plate appearances, 620 plate appearances for the Boston Red Sox. He could probably get to 25-ish home runs, but he's definitely going to help you in batting average. You know, we don't always talk about batting average like it's a category like home runs or like steals where, oh, you can't get too far behind or you can't punt this category. Like, winning batting average is hard, you know, because there are so many guys who fill in at home runs and at stolen bases. I mean, we just talked about Estuary Ruiz, these guys who are so bad for your batting average. Like, if you take Stanton as your seventh outfielder and you're using Stanton some weeks, like, you better have a guy who's hitting 280 there, because Stanton might hit 204 over the course of the season. You know, he's like he's the new Adam Dunn, Joey Gallo type of guy in Major League Baseball. And Yoshida is just going to play so much, especially now that they are DHing him. We mentioned that that Adam Duvall is no longer on that team. I mean, that could he lead the American League in plate appearances? I mean, honestly, he probably could.
Yeah, well, he's going to play DH, but will qualify again for you in fantasy this year for the outfield. So that is definitely, you know, without a doubt, when you look at players, you have to look at some of the position eligibility. The good news is, Davis, in free agency is that as we're looking at it as far as ADP, and we're going to talk about designated hitters coming up in our next segment, but for the most part, a lot of the offensive players have now been signed. So with Duvall off the board, Michael A. Taylor off the board, there's only a couple left, I believe. I think Robbie Grossman may be one of those. But the complaining about free agency is real, but it shouldn't be any more from the offensive standpoint. I think we're good. You can feel safe, I think, drafting players right now on offense.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's the bigger deal for the pitchers. I mean, some of the guys who were sitting out there for a little bit, like the guys who are unsigned right now are like not names who you are even – would you even want to draft Hanser Alberto on any of your fantasy baseball teams? Craig, you know who's not signed right now? You know who is a Major League Baseball free agent right now, who people in fantasy baseball, myself included, have loved? Adalberto Mondesi right now is a free agent, did not re-sign with the Boston Red Sox. I mean, look, you laugh, and I laugh too. this dude's signing with someone in like June. Like it's definitely he's definitely signing with someone. Yeah, it's gonna happen. Maybe.
Has he did he play at all in the last 2 years? Does he have any plate appearances? Any?
Let's see. Adalberto Mondesi did never register a plate appearance with the Boston Red Sox. Not once.
Yeah, I think I'll pass. All right, we'll take a look at the DH. Hey, Ohtani is our next part of the discussion, so stay tuned to that. You have more fantasy sports today on Sports Grid coming up next, and we'll be back right after these quick messages, so don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports. Today we're going to dive into the designated hitters in fantasy, but really the main one to talk about, Davis, is Shohei Ohtani. And I guess the good news for these silly fantasy operators this year is they don't have to be all concerned with figuring out how to make Ohtani the pitcher, the hitter, etc. Davis, you know, like there's artificial intelligence. Like we have some of the smartest people in the world. These fantasy operators for years could not figure out how to make Ohtani a pitcher and a hitter in fantasy baseball. It is a huge bone of contention for me. I will never understand how they could not figure this out. I mean, next year, just make the guy a hitter and a pitcher. How much software do we need? I mean, we have AI running the world here. We can't figure out how to just Ohtani 1 week, make him a pitcher, make him a hitter every day, in and out. I will never. And they were trying to justify this idea of drafting him twice as two different players.
Well, so the way that it used to work in the NFBC was you just had to choose on a Monday, right? So you had when you set your lineup, you had to say, all right, I'm starting Ohtani the pitcher, or I'm starting Ohtani the hitter. Obviously, the idea of drafting him as two separate entities, drafting him as a pitcher, Shohei Ohtani P, Shohei Ohtani H, you know, that obviously was as insane as it gets. It was always my opinion that you should have just gotten all of his statistics. You should have gotten him as a pitcher. You should have gotten him. You drafted him. That's your, it's just, yeah. I mean, it is absolutely insane. I never understood it. By the way, I mean, it worked that way on the daily fantasy operators too. You could either use him as a pitcher or as a hitter. And on days where he was pitching, Craig, you could not even draft him as a hitter. So if you wanted to stack the Angels, but Ohtani was pitching, you couldn't even draft him, Shohei Ohtani, as a hitter. So I hope they all take this year off to think about what they've done and they do a better job moving forward.
Yeah, I have to fix that next year. That's the whole allure to the best player that we've seen in like 50 years in baseball. Like, get that straightened out. All right, we got to get ourselves straightened out. We got hour two coming up next of Fantasy Sports Today. We'll dive into more DHs, players who only qualify at the position, some others who do as well. More FST coming up next.